Facebook has just launched its Instant Articles program, which gives publishers the ability to put articles directly onto Facebook, which means faster download for Facebook users, and it also keeps them from straying from Facebook to find content. Meanwhile, other social media sites from Twitter to Instagram to Snapchat are also looking to become news platforms. Here now, media analyst John Carroll has some thoughts on this social stampede to news. And John, first tell us about Facebook's Instant Articles program. How will it work?
They've entered agreements with a number of news organizations that will post their content directly onto Facebook so that if I want to send you to a column in the New York Times, I used to send you a link. You would hit the link and it would take you to the Times website. Now you will stay on Facebook. The content is embedded there.
Yeah.
From Facebook's standpoint, they want to be the web. And so the more they can keep you there, the more they can provide you with what you want within Facebook, the better they like it.
And what are the publishers or the content providers? What do they get out of this? Let's take the New York Times. Let's say they've got a Maureen Dowd column, and they are going to put it right into this, what is this called, this Instant Articles program. So first of all, they have this relationship with Facebook?
They are working out this relationship, yes.
What are the finances of that?
Finances are if New York Times sells ads to accompany its content, they keep 100% of the revenue. Mm-hmm. If Facebook sells the ad, the Times gets 70%, Facebook gets 30%. So this is really about traffic in many ways, to drive more traffic to New York Times content. Mobile is the way a lot of millennials in particular access their all their content. So the Times wants that traffic, and Facebook can provide it.
Right, because they're getting their content from their smartphones, but they're staying more on Facebook. They're not going to the New York Times on their smartphones to get it.
It takes 8 to 10 seconds to download the New York Times website.
That's a lifetime for millennials.
Yeah.
So the New York Times gets people that may not be going to them anyway. I mean, it's not like they're in putting their product on Facebook. They're not losing these people because they weren't getting them anyway.
No, right. Yeah. Facebook is a tremendous driver of traffic.
Okay. So a new Pew Research Center report finds that. They find that Facebook is the top source for political news among millennials. So this has to be why people like the Times are doing it, and it has to be why other sites are moving towards this.
Right. This is the wave of the future. And Twitter, for example, has a new program called Project Lightning. Basically, what they're going to do is they're going to aggregate content around particular events or breaking news. A lot of people find Twitter hard to navigate, and so they get discouraged. This is a way for Twitter to give them information, which is what Twitter is basically about, in a really easy, convenient way. So photos, tweets, vines, videos, all of it will be in this one stream.
I'm still staying with the fact that Facebook, Jeremy Singer, is the top source for political news among millennials. We'll take that up again in a second. But so Twitter is looking to get more of this action. What about Instagram, which is owned by Facebook?
Right. Instagram is also looking to get into the business of event coverage and breaking news. They've revamped their search engine. They've added different search terms like trending places and hashtags so that, again, it will be more convenient for people to tap into what's happening immediately in their area or in any location of the world.
And then there's Snapchat. This is the app that sends pictures and videos, but they disappear after a certain amount of time. And they're right now hiring journalists to cover the 2016 presidential race. Also getting into the political ad business. They recently posted this short ad by the conservative American Action Network. Let's just listen.
Stand up for American jobs by calling Congress and urging them to pass TPA. Because if we don't lead, China will.
Okay, now is that going to disappear?
It has disappeared.
Already.
Mm-hmm. It was attached to a particular storyline last month out in Iowa. So this is uncharted territory in many ways. Snapchat as a sort of political vehicle is something that is really breaking new ground. They're hiring – they just hired a star political reporter from CNN. They're basically curating this this information, and they're generating news coverage of the presidential race.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a venue where the candidates will likely congregate too.
This is quite something. New York Times publisher Arthur Sulzberger Jr. has long said he's a platform agnostic. He's not going to believe it till he sees it. But it sounds as if you're seeing it. You're seeing this news move to these platforms. You're nodding yes.
Yes, yes. It's all about producing content and then delivering it on the platforms that people want it on. So Arthur Sulzberger thinks that his content can go off onto any platform. One of the problems is a lot of his readers come from the digital world. A lot of most of his revenue comes from the print world. So you have to reconcile those two things.
Yeah. John Carroll, media analyst for Here and Now, mass communication professor at Boston University, will link to his campaign outsider blog at hereandnow.org. Meanwhile, Jeremy, what do you think about this?
Well,
Facebook.
I still use my New York Times app, I will say.
Good for you.
But because it's a great app. It really is a great app. But if somebody posts a story that, you know, or a Wall Street Journal app or whatever, if somebody posts a story on Facebook or Twitter,
I'll
be happy to click on that too. Get it more everywhere. Fine. If more people are paying attention to the news, I'm fine with that.
You're platform agnostic too, right?